This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast.
We would like to thank PROS for their continued support. PROS knows there is more to you than just your hair type. Go to pros.com/madeforthis to take your free in-depth hair quiz and get 15% off your first order today.
You have a race that no one else can run, so please run it. This is one of my favorite weeks because now we're starting to zero into what makes your heart race. What makes you so excited to get out of bed in the morning? What do you do? And when you do it, your heart comes alive. There are passions that God has put inside of you that are unique to you. And I know you can't imagine it because you're so passionate about it. You think everybody else is just as passionate about it as you. I am this way. I could sell anything. People say that all the time to me. You could sell anything. And I'm like, only if I'm passionate about it. But if I am, watch out. Like, I will never, ever tell you something like, wow, this product is great or this thing is great, unless I really feel that way, because I'm the worst liar. I'm a horrible liar. If I'm lying, everybody can tell. I remember one time we were filming something for Stuck and they were like, let's act this out, this story, let's act it out. And I was like, I don't think I can act. And they're like, sure you can. Like, you look at a camera all the time and you talk to it, just same thing. And I'm like, no, it's not, because it's fake. And they were like, okay, we'll try it. And I did. I tried it. I was a terrible actor. I mean, truly, like, it was painful. When I saw the footage, we all were dying laughing at me acting. I'm not an actress. I can't lie. I can't fake it. What I am passionate about is going to come out. You're going to hear about it. You're going to know about it, whether it is my dry shampoo, which I adore, spend way too much money on it because I can't find anything that compares, or whether it is Jesus, who has changed my life, and I love him so much, and I adore him, and I want everybody to know him. You're going to hear about it. And guys, that's what we're talking about today. What is the thing that you can't fake? What is the thing that you love so much you just overflow about it if it comes up? And it might be something really shallow. It might be something that you think, I don't know how this matters, but I love clothes. I love clothes. I love them. And shopping and all that. I love it. I think if that is a passion of yours, you need to write it down. If it is traveling, if it is whatever it is, whatever you just, your heart races and you get so excited about, I want you to write it down. Because what we can tend to do is over-spiritualize everything we do. We can tend to say, okay, well, our passion should only be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. That should be our passion. Well, you know what? That may not be your passion. And you know what? God might not be calling you overseas to be a missionary. He might be calling you to, like my friend Amanda, the art community in Arkansas, and to make friends and to go to posh parties and have all these people that don't know Jesus that love you and that know you and that talk to you about art. That might be where he calls you. So I don't want you to overthink this. What makes your heart beat fast? Tim Keller talks a lot about this in his book, Every Good Endeavor. I think it's a really important read if you've never read that book, because what that book talks about is the way that we work and the way that we view work as Christians really is broken in the West. The work divide of secular versus sacred, that we have demonized things that are secular, that we don't imagine what God could do with secular jobs and secular work that doesn't feel important. And therefore we miss the sacred in the secular. And there really is no divide, right? There's no divide. It's all of God. He's gifted you to do this, put you in your place, given you the people around you, given you the gifts you have, whatever they are, whether they are spiritual gifts or just natural abilities. He's given them to you, and he wants to use them in those places. Honestly, at the real core root of it, let me tell you a secret. Your calling is the same as mine. All of our callings are the exact same. How we express them and the assignments that we take and do at different points in our life should just be a reflection of that calling. So that calling is to make disciples who make disciples. It's Matthew 28. We've talked about this before. Matthew 28, Jesus is ascending to heaven, and he says, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, every tongue, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Spirit. That's the calling. That's what he's asked us to do. So we're supposed to go make disciples of Jesus, right? And baptize people into the faith to bring them to salvation, by the way. Discipleship largely is an evangelistic effort. At that point, most of the world never heard of Jesus. And so they were discipling them into a faith. That was the calling. And that's still the calling, right? That's the calling over all of our lives. If you know Jesus, then to make disciples is the call. It is the call. You don't have a different one. But write that one at the very top, above passions. What places, what ways, what settings? That's going to get clear from these threads that you've been laying out. So passions, what are your passions? I want you to imagine the things that make your heart beat fast. And isn't it fun to do that when you're not sitting there thinking it has to be something very important or very big? It might be that you absolutely love cooking. Good for you. That's not mine at all. Maybe that's yours. You love cooking. You love making meals for people. You love taking meals to people. You love having people over in your home to cook for them. You love cooking for your family. Do you know how powerful meals were in Jesus's ministry? If there weren't people cooking meals, there was a lot of ministry that just didn't happen. Like so much happened around tables. The Lord's Supper. Lazarus, he goes into town and he invites the person that people hated the most to a meal. In fact, to his house, someone had to cook that. So you see how your different passions don't have to be sharing the gospel with people in foreign countries. Although I think to some degree, making Jesus known is going to be part of everything we do, should be part of everything we do. You might love volunteering at your kid's school. You might love the fact that you organize and you love doing that for other people. You are really good at it. You might love crafts. Good for you. You know, I am not a craft person. So I was just at the mall the other morning this week and I walk in and I'm going to Starbucks and it's before it's even open. All the mall walkers are there, you know, all the people that walk the mall. By the way, I'm so going to be a mall walker. I'm going to go at 7 a.m. with my friends and we are mall walking when we get older. That is my destiny. I love those older people walking the mall. All the mall walkers are there and there's this little group of people knitting at Starbucks in the mall at like 8:30 in the morning. And I just thought, I tried to take a picture of them, but I thought this is so creepy. And they were all just working so hard. I didn't want to interrupt them, but it was just the sweetest little group of people doing their thing, you know? And I just thought, good for you knitters, you know, good for you all out there that are knitters. I know some of you knit. Good for you. How could you use that passion for the glory of God? That's what I want you to think about. And isn't that fun? Isn't it fun? And how creative it could be that you think out of the box about your passion and how God's made you and how you could tie that to the gospel and to reaching people that I could never reach because I hate crafts, right? I can never reach those people. Never going to reach crafters. Never. So you can create little clubs and little gatherings, and it doesn't have to be complicated. I promise you, the night before that little mall gathering, unless they do it every week, somebody just said, hey, do y'all want to go to the mall tomorrow and knit? I just can't even get over how cute it is. That's that simple, y'all. You don't have to overthink this. Just figure out what you love and bring people into it. One reason that's so powerful, and you see this throughout the Gospels, is God actually worked with what these men loved, these disciples loved. They, you know, when he called them to come follow him, he called fishers of men. Several of them were actually fishermen. And he says, hey, I want you to pull in your nets and I want you to, let's go fish for men. And there was this tie to, this is the way we're going to do it. I remember this was how Kate, my daughter, was saved. Was she was fishing in the back of our seat. She was 3 or 4 years old. And she was six because she remembers it. But I think I've just told her the story so many times. I couldn't believe how young she was. And she was fishing. And I said, you know, Jesus was a fisherman. A lot of his disciples were fishermen. And God called him and said, hey, I want you to take what you're good at. And I want you to come with me. And we're going to go fish for men. And she was like, wow. She was like, I want to fish for men. And I was like, well, I don't know that you even know Jesus yet. So if you want to follow Jesus, you can. And that's what he does. He makes us fishers of men. And so just sitting in the back with her little craft, she you know, and I thought to myself, she's too young, but God, if this is it, like she can, and she said, I want to pray right now. So we prayed in the car. And I really believe this is how God works. It's through little things. Like that teacher made a little fishing pole that day and sent it home with her at preschool, right? And through that, the conversation came up and we talked about what the disciples love. Like this is how God works. He takes the everyday things, the small, stupid little things, and he shares the gospel with people. See, we think it's the best sermon, and so we've got to get people to church. And I just read somebody say this morning, if you're telling your friends about church, that's advertisement. If you're telling your friends about Jesus, that's evangelism. You are the best person. It's not getting them to church, right? It's not. It's you. It's not a pulpit. It's not a book. It's not a podcast. I'm not saying you don't ever send these things out, but it's you through your passions. And your passions are going to lead you in unique stories and places that you can't imagine. That's how our passions are added to this story. And you see this with Joseph. You know, he had this gift, and you see it early. He had this gift of dream interpretation. But then as time goes on, you see him in the pit, in prison, and he's interpreting people's dreams. It's what he was good at. It's what he's passionate about. And he did it. He was just doing it downstairs, like some of you are doing crafts downstairs. And he was doing it with people in prison, and he was interpreting their dreams. And sure enough, later, the people that he interpreted their dreams came out of prison and told the king about it, right? Well, one of them ended up dead. But the other one, who he had interpreted the dream for, hey, so there's a guy downstairs that's really passionate about this and good at this. Maybe he could help you. And so Joseph is called up from prison into the king's throne room and able to interpret the dream, use his passion and gift to help the king. Sure enough, that led to Joseph leading a movement that rescued nations around them and caused them to store up food for years so that they were ready for a famine that was coming. This is how it goes. You're doing what you are, isn't a big deal. You're doing what you're doing. He was doing it in the pit, in a prison. He was doing it for people that he never, you know, knew would one day help him, but he was just doing what he was good at. And he got called up, right? And God used his gift and his passion and his thing that he was good at in a moment when in history to change the trajectory of a nation and the nation surrounding it, because they would have starved without Joseph's passion and dream. So I know it could feel like, gosh, I don't have anything like dream interpretation in my back pocket, but I think that's where we go wrong, because God can use anything. God can use anything.
Switching to a custom hair routine from Prose was one of the best things that I've done for my hair this year, and the results that I'm seeing are just getting better. I love how Prose helps my hair stay shinier and smoother in between color, and the smell is so amazing. I'm really picky about the smell of my shampoo. I get sick of it quickly, and Prose is just the most natural, clean-smelling hair care products that I have. We've teamed up with Prose, and they're offering 15% off your first order at prose.com/madeforthis. What's so cool about Prose is that they know that there is more to you than just your hair type, like curly, straight, fine hair, thick hair. And they give these really in-depth consultations where they ask you questions about all different things, like where do you live? What's the humidity like? Your eating habits, your exercise, things that actually do affect your hair. And my favorite feature is that they have a review and refine tool that lets me tweak my formulas in between shipments. And so if there's for any reason I change up my address, or if I do blonder color in the summer that dries my hair out, you can tweak your shampoo to reflect it. If you're not 100% positive that Prose is the best hair care you've had, they'll take all the products back, no questions asked. Prose is the healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to prose.com/madeforthis. That's prose.com/madeforthis for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off.
I think one thing we miss as believers is the power of excellent work and being good at things. And you see the favor of people that have pursued medicine or science or art or music in a way that it's just so good. It puts them in places of respect and favor and success that they would have missed if they had thought this is worldly, this is secular. I think about my friend Jenna, who was Glinda in Wicked for, I think, 8 to 10 years. She served in that role. It was her dream when she was a little girl. She imagined herself as Glinda. She went and saw Wicked when she was very young, and she told her parents, I want to be Glinda one day. And sure enough, she pursued that passion with her gifts. And I'm telling you, Jenna did it. She became Glinda in Wicked, which is no joke, but in New York, and had so many relationships there, and people just loved her. She had such favor and success. And through that passion of music and Broadway and drama, she was able to reach people that we can't ever reach, that we would never imagine reaching. God gifted her and placed her in those places. And now sweet girl is making movies and all kinds of different things now, but she's just taking what she's good at. And she's so sweet about it. You know, when you meet her, the first time I met her, it was backstage, and we had several mutual friends, including Annie Downs, who she and Annie are really close. And so I got to meet her, and it was so special. And I'm just talking with her and she's just talking about how fun it all is. Like she's just like a giddy schoolgirl doing what she loves. And yet God has put her in places that allow her to be able to have conversations about him that with people that are not interested in God at all. And yet she's able to minister to people and love people in ways that are so beautiful. Guys, I don't know what it is. I don't know what your little girl dream is or what your little boy dream is or what you felt like, I just want to do this. But maybe there's something in that. Maybe there's not. Maybe you'll write it down and you'll pray about it and there's just, it's dead and there's nothing in it. But maybe there is. I'm watching my son right now. I mean, his dream was football and he hurt his back in college and his football career was cut very short. And he now is coaching guys. Like he's coaching eighth grade boys and loving on them and investing in their lives and caring about them. Like, I don't know. And he's doing it part-time. It's not like that's his main job, but he's taking that thing he loves and he's investing in the next generation with it. And I believe that passion that you have, it could be your ministry. It could be to sing or to write or to equip the next generation through discipleship. It could be that. That was mine. But I just don't want to miss those of you that it isn't that, that it's something completely that wouldn't be considered ministry, that it would be, seems shallow, and yet God can use that. Ultimately, one thing we have not talked enough about, and I will talk about next week, is the Spirit leads. The Spirit is going to lead you. In the book I write, we will never move forward if we cannot love, if we cannot know God, if we cannot know ourselves, if we cannot change, if we cannot bleed for others. We cannot move without God's Spirit moving in and through us to accomplish his purposes. The Spirit moves us. The Spirit changes us. The Spirit helps us know God. The Spirit helps us care about others. And all of that, the Spirit is accomplishing in our lives if we're surrendered to him. And so I just want to end this with whatever your passion is, ultimately, God can move through it. Whatever your gifts are, whatever your suffering is, whatever your place and your people are, that God can move through all of it. However, it will be with his Spirit. His Spirit will lead you. You will get nudges. You will get ideas. You will get sparks that you would have never thought of, that you would have never created in your own mind. And that's the Spirit leading you and moving you to care more about other people than yourself, to know God, to give God away. I have seen that again and again. I sense even right now the Spirit calling me to new things, and they're not things I would have ever thought of ever in a million years. And they're not things that I'm comfortable with, and they're not things that I've done before. And yet I'm watching him provide everything I need to do it. We'll talk more about that next week, but I just want you to know that you are unbelievably seen by God. He loves you. He sees you. He made you. He set you in your place. He gave you those passions as a little girl or boy. He gave you the things that you love, and he wants to move through them, to blow through them, and to create incredible things. We'll talk about it next week. Love you guys. Thanks for hanging out.
Hey guys, Chloe here. If you haven't already, can you make sure and go to follow the show on Apple iTunes or subscribe anywhere you listen? And then also rate and review the show, because that's how people find the show. You would not believe the messages that we get from people all over the world who are listening every single week alongside you. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Made for This podcast.